Today's shiur is Masechta Bechiras Daf Chaf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet on Beis, the bottom line, Itmanami. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had we learned the Mishnah where Rav Yosef Meshulam taught us two halachas. One is that when somebody is shechting a bechar, and the bechar is typically a sheep, and you need to get the wool out of the way, the halacha is, even though there's an isser Giza, one may not shear the wool of a Bechor. Here, if your goal is to be able to do the Shechita, it's Mutter. And so too, the halacha is regarding cutting off the wool or moving the wool to be able to do your inspection if the Bechor is a Bamum. The question that the Gemara then posed was, the halacha of our Mishnah. What is the basis for this halacha? Is the basis of this halacha because this is not considered a Maisa Giza? Or is the basis for the halacha because it's a Davar Shein Miskaven? You're just trying to move it out of the way. You're not trying to cut out the wool. What would be the nafgamina? Nafgamina would be if it's mutter on yontif. If it's a davar shein miskaven, then it's mutter on yontif. If it's not a davar shein miskaven, if it's only because this is not toilish, is not considered geizus, then it would be aser. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara said that Rav Chananel reported in the name of Rav that just like this may be done, as we quoted in the Mishnah, by Bechor, so may it be done on Yontif. So says the Gemara, Itmanami Amrav Chanan Bas Shalmi Mishmei the Rav, connect the Yontif Mutter. And as we just explained, if we say that it's Mutter on Yontif, it must be because it's a Dovish Einim Skavin, and therefore it doesn't fall into the category of Giza by Bechor, because it's not my intent to be Geizes. And the same thing, on Yontif, it would be Mutter. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Hachi, does that mean that Rav passes this way? Does it mean that Rav holds that a Dovish Einim Miskavin is Mutter? Vom Rav Chia Bar Ashim Yishmei the Rav, Mesreichet Nizyaisa, if somebody has a rag, piece of material, Osa Lahaduke Bi Yontif, he may not put it into the barrel on Yontif, because even though all he's trying to do is just put this piece of material into the hole in the barrel, it's a davashen and miskaven to number of malachas. And machlekes rishonim, which malacha? Most rishonim say that the malacha that takes place when you squeeze this rag, this material into the hole, is the malacha of schita. The problem with that approach is, let's think about it. When we say Schita is Asr on Shabbos, on Yontif, what's the Malach of Schita? So some say that Schita is a Tolda of Malabin, of cleaning. And here, this, as I said, is a barrel of beer. So if you, by squeezing beer out of a rag, that isn't called cleaning the rag, that it should be considered a Tolda of Malabin, a Tolda of cleaning. On the other hand, there's some that say that the Isser of Schit is because of Dosh. Because what happens by Dosh? When you winnow, you separate the grain from the extraneous material. But here, and you're left with the grain. Here they say, what are you doing? You're squeezing the rag into the hole in the barrel, but the liquid goes to waste. So that isn't Dosh. So in answer of these questions, the question that, is it considered schita when it's not with water? The Rishonim already say that even though schita is a tolda malabin, and malabin is only with water, midrabanan, it's always asur, even if it's not water, even if it's like we're speaking about beer. Regarding the question, how can we call it dosh if the liquid goes to waste? The answer to that question, they explain, is that we're not speaking about a hole on the side of the barrel, that when you squeeze the rag in there, the material just, the liquid just pours down the side of the barrel. We're speaking about a hole on the top of the barrel. And when you squeeze the material in there, the liquid in that material will go right back into the barrel, so it's not going to waste. But because of these questions, there are Rishonim that have a whole different approach to what is the malacha that's usur when you squeeze the material into the barrel. And they say the malacha is a seis keli. Here you have a barrel with a hole in it. A barrel with a hole in it is not extremely useful. By putting the rag in and closing up that hole, you're making the barrel into a usable barrel. Actually, when we speak about this question about schita and saying that perhaps by schita you have to squeeze and have some of the liquid left over to have use from it, so the Pais can discuss, is somebody allowed to eat a grapefruit on Shabbos for Yontif? Because when you're eating the grapefruit and you squeeze your spoon into that grapefruit, the juice oozes out. And why is that not considered schita? So there's an interesting Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura says that let's say you have a vegetable, kvashim v'shlokas, the Mishnah Berura says, that you cooked in water and is saturated with water. And it's not edible because it's so saturated with water. So Mishnah Berura says you're allowed to squeeze the water out of those vegetables in order to be able to eat them. So the Pais can indicate that the grapefruit is not really the same as that vegetable. Because that vegetable is inedible. And squeezing the juice out is just making the vegetable edible. Here, the juice is separating from the liquid. Not because you can't eat the grapefruit with the juice in it. And therefore, it's a different situation. I did see from Shlomo Zalman that he says that the reason that you're allowed to eat a grapefruit, Shabbos for Yontif, and not be concerned about schita, even though the juice separates from the fruit, is because the juice doesn't separate into a separate bowl. It stays within the grapefruit, and therefore it's not considered schita and it's mutter. Another question that comes up, that I saw a tshuva for Rav Moshe, is that if somebody wants to clean his table on Shabbos, and he wants to make a paper towel wet, is there an issue of schita when you make the paper towel wet? And Rav Moshe takes a lenient approach for two reasons, with two conditions. He says, firstly, it's not quite certain that water, the paper really absorbs water. It's not like material. And furthermore, if the person tries to be careful that when he cleans the table, no water should come out of that paper towel, so even if some water does come out, as we're learning in our Gemara, it certainly would be a dovish and a miskaven. And that's why it's mutter. Now we go back to our Gemara. So our Gemara is proving that it can't be that the reason that it's mutter to do this act with the wool because of Dovashay Miskaven, because Rav is agreeing that even in Yontif this may be done, and Rav's opinion is that a Dovashay Miskaven we see from Miskraicha to Nuzyaisa is also on Yontif. Answers the Gemara, not true. Because there, says the Gemara, Bahi Afil Rav Shimon Moida. In the case of Mishraich and Zayisa, even Rav Shimon, who's the man, the Omer, that's Mekel on a Dovashayna Miskavin, will hold the Mishraich and Zayisa's Osir. Four, says the Gemara, the Bai Varov of Amrit Havayu, Moida Rav Shimon Psik Reisha Velayomas, if you'll cut the head off of something, won't it die? And therefore, this is a Psik Reisha. And even Rav Shimon is maskim, is agreeable that Dovashayna Miskavin is Osir when it's a Psik Reisha. Actually, there's an interesting machloikis in the Mefarshim. Why? Some explain that Rav Shimon holds that if something is for sure going to happen, like we just said, if you're going to cut the head off a chicken, it's certainly going to die, you can't say you didn't intend to do it. Because if it's inevitable, that means you intended to do it. Others say a different pshat, that a dovish ain't a miskavin, even though Rav Shimon is mekel, he holds whatever it's a psik reisha, even though it was not your intention, that isn't in the category of something that is considered a dovish and a miskaven. What is the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina between these approaches, and the Pais can discuss this at great length, is a situation of a psik reisha to loy nichlei. The result is inevitable, but it's not a result that you're satisfied with. If we say that since it's going to happen, that means you knew it's going to happen, and that's why it can't be called a Dovashayna Miskaven, So it makes no difference if it's nichalei or lai nichalei. If, however, we're saying that the general exemption of Dov Shenem Skavin wasn't said by Psik Reisha, maybe it was only not said by Psik Reisha the nichalei, that you're satisfied with the result. But a Psik Reisha, the lai nichalei, there could be that the Torah of Dov Shenem Skavin remains. Ask the Gemara, is that the way to understand Rav? Vamrav Chibar Ashi Amarav Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Here we see the Rav passes like Rabbi Yehuda, the Dov Shenem Skavin is Osir. Rachanan Ba'ami Amishmu Halach Rabbi Shimon, it's Shmuel that passes like Rabbi Shimon. Rachibar Ava Masna B'loi Gavri. He has the same, have Rav and Shmuel with the same positions, but not saying it in the name of someone else, they said it on their own. Rav Amalach Rabbi Yehuda, Rav passes like Rabbi Yehuda, Vishmu Amalach Rabbi Shimon. So what do we see? The Rav holds the Dov Shenem Skavin is Osir. So how do we understand our Gemara? Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam Sover Rav Dov Shenem Skavin is Osir. Rav indeed agrees that Dov Shenem Skavin is Osir. The Toilish Lav Hainagoses. Why in our Mishnah is it not Osir? Because the act that's being done is not in the category of Goises. We'll see in a moment. Over Yontif. So that would be fine by Bechor. Because by Bechor, Goises is Osir, Toilish is not Osir. But how would Rav explain why it may be done on Yontif? Or be Yontif hain atam of the Shari. The reason it could be done on Yontif, the Havale, Oika Dov Migdulai Kalachiyad. It's not considered Toilish because it's not the normal way of doing it, plucking out the hair. This way Rashi explains the Gemara. Since it's not the normal way of doing it, that's why it's not Osir. And that's Pshat why it's mut. That's why it's mutter on Yontif, and that's why it's mutter in our Mishnah as well. Actually, that's how Rashi learns the Gemara, and that's how we're going to learn the Gemara. Others say what the Gemara means to say is that since this type of plucking is not goizes, toilish lav goizes, and we can't call it koitzer either, because koitzer is only when you're doing it with an implement, and here you're not using an implement. And Kaitz is only by Dovah Shigdula Mikarka. That's why it's Mutar Yontif. But again, we're going to learn like Rashi. Ask the Gemara, the Toilish Lav Hainu Goizes. Is this true? That when you do it in this form, it's not in the category of Goizes. But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Ha Toilish is a Konof. If somebody plucks out a feather from a chicken in order to be able to shecht it, Vakaitma, and then he takes that feather and cuts off the top. Vamarto, and then he smooths out the size of that feather. Chayiv, sholosh chatos. He'll be chayiv three different chatos. And Rish Lakish explains the braisa. Toilish, when you pluck the feather out of the chicken, chayiv mishum goizes, that's considered goizes. So you right away see that toilish is considered, just plucking a feather out is considered a form of gziza. And it's not kalachiyad. And we're going to come back to answer this question. Kaitim, when you cut off the top of this feather, when you make it straight, chay mishum chatech. And actually, the Paiskim used this Gemara of kaitim chay mishum chatech to discuss a very important question, lahalocha. The question that they discuss is a little hard to discuss. If somebody needs to use the washroom on Shabbos, is he allowed to tear off from the roll a paper? Because is that considered mechatech? Why would we say it's not mechatech? Because you don't necessarily have intent to have that piece of paper that you're tearing off to have any specific size. And therefore, perhaps, since there's no intent that that piece of paper that you're tearing should have a specific size, maybe it should not be considered mechatech. But they say from our Gemara, where all you're doing is just cutting off, straightening out the top of the feather, where again, there's no specific size of the piece of feather that you're cutting off, you just want it to be straight, still the Gemara considers it mechatech. Memarit, when you cut the sides in order that they should be straight and smooth, that's mishum machik, that's called smoothing. But what do we see from here? That plucking a feather out, an act of tlisha, is considered a full-fledged gziza. How do you say it's not? Answers the Gemara, Shani Kanaf Danu Urchei. Yes, pulling out a feather is considered orchei, and therefore it's usur. That's how you take out feathers from a chicken. Our Mishnah is not talking about feathers. It's talking about the wool. There indeed, it's kalach yad. It's not, it's with a shinui. And whenever something is done with a shinui, it's mutter. The question that I saw the Rishonim discuss is, will this, if somebody needs to shecht on yontif, well, we know when is a lot of shecht on yontif. If you want to eat the meat, you want to eat the chicken, we're talking about a bird, you want to eat the chicken on yontif, you're a lot of shecht on yontif. The question is, you need to pluck out, you need to pull out the feather to be able to do a proper shechita, may it be done on yontif. So the truth of the matter is, it's a melachah and it's tzrich legufa, because it's a melacha, but it's not a melacha, and now we're saying that this is the way feathers are taken out. But it's a melacha and it's tzrich legufa because you don't need the feather. You just need that the area where you need to make the cut should be available to you. And as we always explain when we speak about melacha and it's tzrich legufa, the definition of a melacha and it's tzrich legufa is that if you had your option, you wouldn't need to do this melacha because you don't really need the feather. You need the area to be clean. But many Rishonim say that even though we paskin the Malachish and it's Tzrich Legufa is not Osma D'Raisa, it's Osma D'Rabbanan, and they say it's Osma D'Rabbanan even on Yontif. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that a Malachish and it's Tzrich Legufa L'Tzayrich Simchas Yontif, you want to shech this bird to be able to eat it on Yontif, is 100% Mutter. It's not even Osma D'Rabbanan. Furthermore, how he says, perhaps taking out this feather should be considered in the category of oichel nefesh, because you, just like you're allowed to shech the bird in order to be able to eat it on yontif, you're allowed to pull out the feather in order to be able to do the shechita in order to be able to eat on yontif. But then he says, and this is a concept that's discussed many times in Shas, a machshirei oichel nefesh. Oichel nefesh means that you need to shech, and you think that the shechita on yontif is better, or you need the food on yontif. That's called machshir, that's called oichel nefesh, and it may be done yontif. Plucking out the feather is certainly only in the category of machshirei oichel nefesh, and the halacha is that machshirei oichel nefesh that could have been done before yontif may not be done on yontif. And since you could have easily plucked out this feather before yontif, the Ramban agrees that you may not do it on yontif. Another interesting question that comes up is if somebody is eating chicken or other bird, poultry, on Shabbos, and he wants to eat the skin, and the skin wasn't cleaned so well before it was cooked, or whatever, however the food was prepared, and there's still hairs sticking out of that skin, may one pluck out those hairs from the skin on Shabbos? And the Paiskim indicate, interestingly, they take a very lenient approach, and they give a number of reasons why. Firstly, they say that since the feathers went through the cooking or whatever preparation, they may not be considered halachically as feathers anymore. Furthermore, since they come out much more easily after the chicken or whatever was cooked, that maybe is not considered an act of Talisha, and they take a much more lenient approach to it. Says the Gemara, and this is the way Tosfos tells us to understand the Gemara. We have Rav agreeing with Rabbi Yosef Meshulam. And what do we know about Rav? We know that Rav holds that a Dovashed Miskavin is Osir. And because Rav holds a Dovashed Miskavin Osir, the only way to understand Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam's Psak in the Mishnah must be because Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam holds the Toilish Lav Geizus, says the Gemara. If that's the way we understand Rav, I must go the other way also. Umid the Rav Savak Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, obviously Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam Savak Rav. That Rabbi Yosef Meshulam is going to agree that Dovashen Miskavin is Asur. I, in the Mishnah, he said, you're allowed to pluck out this hair. It must be because he holds Toilish Lav Geizes. For Tosfos explains, If you're not going to say that, how could Rav use Rabbi Yosef Meshulam as a basis for his opinion? Well, Rabbi Yosef Meshulam may be saying his opinion because he holds Tova Shem Skav and Mutter. If Rav relies on Rabbi Yosef Meshulam, it must be because Rav says, I know Rabbi Yosef Meshulam holds that Tova Shem Skav is Osir. And the reason it's Mutter is because Tova Shlav Goizis. Ask the Gemara, is that a tenable position? The Sover Rabbi Yosef Ben Meshulam, Tova Shem Skav and Osir, Vatanya. The Braisa teaches us, the halacha we know is, that a Parah Aduma has to be completely red. If the Parah Aduma has two black hairs, it's no longer considered a kosher Parah Aduma. So it is the opinion of Rameya that if you have two black hairs on the Parah Aduma, even though when they're connected to the skin, they don't, the bottom where it's connected is red, it doesn't make a difference. You see black hair, and that's why the Parah Aduma is not kosher. The Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan hold that if the hair where it's connected to the animal is red, then you're fine, but you should cut off the black part. So it says in a Braisa, if you have such a situation, where you have Shtei Saris, two hairs, where Ikron, at their root, where they're connected to the Paro, the Madam, the red, however, Roishchon, the top, Mashka is black, and you want to cut off that black part. Rabbi Yosef Meshulam, Omer, Goizis, the Misperayim, you let her cut them off, Veinachoshish. And what's the reason? Because, Rashi explains, it's a Dover Sheinim Skavim. So, Tosfos and all the Rishonim ask, how could Rashi call this a Dover Sheinim Skavim? A Dover Sheinim Skavim, as we've learned earlier, when you had no intention to do what you've done, you didn't intend to squeeze out the juice from the grapefruit. You didn't intend to squeeze out the juice, the beer from that rag. Here, you're cutting, and it is your intention to cut. So how does Rashi call it a Dovah Shenem Eskavin? So Tosfos, because of this question, he says, your intention here is the word Evrein Meskavin that Al-Gemar is using is sort of a borrowed term. And Tosfos says Dovah Shenem Eskavin means that you're not intending to take out the hair, you're intending just to cut off the black part. And that's why it's considered a Dovah Sheinim Skavim. How will we understand Rashi? So Mefarshim explained that the Isser Giza, the Isser to cut a carbon, kachim, is only where you want the wool. Here, you don't want the wool. You want the parah to be clean of black hair. And that's why it's called a Dovah Sheinim Skavim. So again, Rav Yisrael Shalom Aymer, Gozer and Spirayim, you're allowed to cut off the black part. We're not worried that you may end up cutting off some of the red part, according to Tosfos. Or according to Rashi, we're not worried that should be considered Gozer, because it's not your intent to cut, because you want the hair, you're only cutting it to make it a usable parah. So you see that even though normally Giza, cutting of a kachim is asur, here, because he's calling the Dovah Sheinim Eskavin, it's mutter. Answers the Gemara, Shani Par D'la Baskezehi. The Isser of cutting the wool or the hair off kachim doesn't apply by the Paraduma. Ask the Gemara, is that true? For Tanya, the Pasuk says, Loisavet B'chor Sharcha, Loisogus B'chor Tznecha. So, says the Braisa, only, if we read the Pasuk, the Pasuk is telling us that Shar Bavoida, you're not allowed to work with a Shar that's Kachim, but Tzayim Begizah, nor may you cut the wool off a sheep that's Kachim. However, says the Braisa, Menayin Litin Sa Omishal Zeb Zeb Sa Omishal Zeb Zeb, that you're not allowed to cut the hair off the parah that's Kachim, nor may you work with the Tzayim that's Kachim, Tamalaymet Loisagoy Loisaviv Loisogos. So the way most Rishonim explain, since the Torah adds the extra letter Zeh Loisagus, we learn that even Giza's Asur. There are other Rishonim that explain that there's a rule, that whenever the Torah puts two subjects together, we have to say that all the halachas that are by one apply by the other. So we're back to where we started. If we're going to hold the Dovah Sheinim Eskavin is Asur, how could you cut the hair, the black hair of this Parah Aduma? Says the Gemara Shani, Parah the Kachet by the Kabayasi. It doesn't have Kedushas Aguf, it only has Kedushas by the Kabayis. asked the Gemara, "Vam Rav Elazar, kachet by the Gabayas, asurim begiza v'avoida, that you're not allowed to do giza v'avoida even on kachet by the Gabayas?" Answered the Gemara, "Rav Elazar only meant it's midrabbanan." Asked the Gemara, "Fine, it's only midrabbanan, but ikas sura midrabbanan, there's still an issa midrabbanan. So how could Rav Yosef ben Meshulam say that you could cut off the black part of those hairs because it's a davar shenei miskaven, but there's an issa midrabbanan to do so?" Answers the Gemara, "Shani parad lo shchicha." So there's two ways of explaining this Gemara. One way of explaining the Gemara is that since the para doesn't come up often, as the Mishnah says in Masechta the para, there were only 7 para adumas in our history, another way I sort of mafarshim explain is to find a para that has all of the requirements that a para aduma must have is very uncommon. It's hard enough to find it. And therefore, Chazal didn't add further restrictions to make it even more difficult. And therefore, even though normally midrabbanan you're not allowed to do giza, even on something that only has kachet by the kabayis, here, they didn't make that rule because it's lo shchicha. Ask the Gemara, but why not do something else? V'leichla, why not redeem this paraduma? So now it's chulin, v'lefka l'chulin. While it's chulin, v'ligza, cut off the hair, v'had l'katsha. And then afterwards, be mekadesh it again. So you won't have the problem that you're cutting off the hair of an animal that's kachshim. Answers the Gemara, the Maya Yukarim. It's very difficult to do so because the para, as we just finished explaining, is so rare and therefore so expensive, and it's difficult to have enough money to do that redemption. Although I saw other mefarshim that say a very nice pshat. They say, when you redeem kachshim, so obviously there's a process here. This item is kachshim. You redeem it, the item becomes yours, and the money becomes kachshim. Here it's obvious that no one's interested in spending the money to buy a para aduma for their own personal use. Why would somebody need specifically a red para for their personal use? So it's obvious that this entire pigeon is a harama. It's not real. And therefore the Gemara is saying, the Me'er Yikarim, it's not a real pigeon. Ask the Gemara, however, we're going to learn the simple pshat, that the reason you can't do the pigeon is because it's so expensive. But ask the Gemara, v'levad like the Shmuel, hasn't Shmuel paskind, dama Shmuel, hegdish shavim mana, if you have a hegdish that's very expensive, shechillah yashiva pruta, that you went and you redeemed it even on just a pruta, even though the item that you redeemed is much more valuable, mechulu. So, yes, the paradum is very expensive, but that doesn't prevent the halacha from allowing opinion to take place, even just on a pruta. So the mefarshim make a number of points. First of all, they ask, the why not just be shoyl on the hegdish? Paraduma became hegdish because somebody was magdish it. Isn't there a locha, we've discussed, that you could be shoyl on a hegdish? So the answer is, that if I designated an animal to be kaidish, so I have an ability, it's a form of a nether, and I have ability to have that nether annulled. Who makes the animal hegdish? But the kabayis, the lishka, the gizber, that is not something that was personally designated that you could have annulled. Why is the halacha, as Shmuel says, that you could be paida on less than the value? You have an expensive item and you could be paida hegdish even just with a pruta. So I saw two explanations. One explanation is because since we learned it in this masecht, in fact, the halacha is ein anor lehegdish. We learned the masecht of Metzia, that every item has a value, and if there's an overcharge or undercharge of a sixth, that makes the deal bottle. That then doesn't apply by hegdish. So we see that hegdish doesn't really have a specific value, and therefore even if you were paided on a pruta, it's acceptable. That's one explanation I saw. Another explanation I saw from the Shev Shemaitza. The Shev Shemaitza explains that what is the purpose of doing pidyon on Hegdash? He says, normally when you do pidyon, you're redeeming it. You have an item, and I'm buying it. Here, the purpose of the pidyon is not to transfer ownership. The real purpose of the pidyon is to take off the Isser. And that can be done even with a pruta. So why, ask the Gemara, do we have a difficulty here? Why not just be part of the Paraduma, and then it'll be Chulin, cut off the black hair, and then make it Kaidish again? Answers the Gemara, Eimadam Shmuel, Shechilala. Only if you did it with the Evid on much less than its value is it acceptable. Chatchilami Amar. And as the Rishonim explained, therefore, Chazal said, we prefer that you cut the hair off when, and even though there's normally an issur d'rabbanan in cutting the hair, versus being paida, but which is a unique issur to Parah Aduma, than being paida for less than its value, which could have an adverse effect in all situation of kachim. Ibai Sema, but another way of understanding the Gemara goes back on its original assumption. Rav, indeed, Savalak Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. However, Rav Yosef ben Shimon is Savalak Rav. And the Rav indeed holds a Dov Shem Miskaven is Osir. Rav Yosef ben Meshulam is going to hold a Dov Shem Miskaven is Mutar. So we learned in the Mishnah, V'tarlish is Asar, you let him cut, take out the hair. Eventually, as in a Mekom, you have to leave it in that place. Comments the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, Amar Ish Lokish, Lois Shana El Biyad. You're only allowed to pull it out with your hand. Ava Bekeli, you're not allowed to use an instrument to pull out the hair. Pashup Shat is because we go back to the Gemara we learned earlier. That when you do it the Yad, it's considered Kalacha Yad. When you do it with a Keli, it's not Kalacha Yad, it's therefore Asa. Another Pshat is that when you do it the Yad, you're pulling it out from its root. Pulling something out from its root is not called geizes. Geizes means cutting it. So when you're going to pull it out, you're going to pull it out from the root, and that isn't usher. When you cut it, you're not pulling it out from the root, and that's why it's usher. Ask the Gemara, but let's learn the words of the Mishnah. V'ktani, we learned in the Mishnah, oysa mokim bekupitz, you could use an implement, mikan and mikan. So how are you saying that you're not allowed to do it with an implement, with an instrument? Answer the Gemara, the way I understand the wording of the Mishnah is likupitz. That if you're moving it with your hand in order to be able to use the kupitz, the knife, to do the shechita, therefore it's mutar. We furthermore learned in the Mishnah, the chayin talish is asar, you're allowed to remove the hair, liris mum, so you should be able to see if there's a blemish, if the chacham could be able to see if there's a blemish under that wall. Ask the Gemara, ibayla lechatchila diavid. When the Gemara says that you may, when the Mishnah says you may do so, does the Mishnah mean lechatchila or b'diavad? Amar b'yimiya, toshma, the Brisa says, tzema m'subach b'ayizid, if you have wool on the hair of this b'char, and you want to see if there's a blemish under that wool, Rabbi Yosef b'mishnah l'ayim, tol shoy, you could remove it, umaris mumay, to show it to a chacham. Shma mina, this is clearly indication, L'chatchila, that it may be done L'chatchila Shema Mina. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Meri, Af Anan Nami Tanina. Actually, our Mishnah supports such an approach. Because it said in our Mishnah, V'chein HaToilish Es Asar Liris Mokam Mum. That if you're moving the hair in order to show the mum to the Talmid Chacham, it's mutar. So the Gemara focuses, Mai V'chein. The Mishnah introduced this second halacha with the word v'chein. What does the Mishnah mean with that word? Ilema, if the Mishnah is teaching us, shelo yezizus mekaymai, delechatchila you should not do so. So ask the Gemara, hashta, u'ma shoychet, d'shchitas mukhachas lo. If in a situation where one is coming to shech the animal, so it's obvious that you're moving the hair just to be able to do the shchita, lo yezizena, the halacha will be that lechatchila you shouldn't do it. So certainly, liras mokum, mum, to be able to show the mum to the Talmid Chacham, where it isn't as obvious that that is your purpose, mibayi, that it's not mutter, lechatchila, ela, the way to understand the Mishnah is a toilish. And the Mishnah saying is, that not only may you lechatchila do tlisha, in order to be able to do the shechita, but v'chein, you're even allowed to do the tlisha, in order to laharis mumah l'chachem. Shema mina, so it's clear from the word v'chein of our Mishnah, that the Mishnah means l'chatchil, you may do so, shema mina. Says the Mishnah, sa b'chor b'mum, if you have the hair of a b'chor b'mum, and again we must remember, as we've been learning, l'chatchil, you're not allowed to cut the hair of a b'chor. Ksar b'chob amum, shenoshar, that fell out. V'nich b'chalon, and you leave it in a window. V'achka shokat, and then you shech the animal. Akav yibemahal matir. Akav yibemahal says that that hair will become mutter. V'chom oisrim. The chum hold its osir. For the chum obviously are concerned that we're going to allow you to have hanor from that hair. You may come to leave the b'char too long. You may come not to do the shechita when you're supposed to do the shechita immediately. And once you're not going to do the shechita, you may come to do gizav avoida with a b'char that's osir. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar loy Rabbi Yosi. Says Rabbi Yosi to Rabbi Yehuda, loy b'zehit kavi m'mahal. This is not the situation that a kavya the mahal was lenient with. Ella, what was the situation? Besar b'chor b'mum. If you have the hair of a b'mum shenosher that fell off by itself. So here, it fell off by itself. V'ach kach meis. Not like in the previous case where the animal was slaughtered, it died. Here, a kavya b'mahal matir. A kavya b'mahal takes a lenient opinion. And the Gemara is going to explain what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. One more halacha, says the Mishnah. Tzemer hamedodol b'char. If you have wool that is disconnected from the skin of the animal, but it's together with the rest of the hair, it's disconnected from the skin, but it hasn't fallen off, says the Mishnah. Eshnir emagiza. What it looks like it's still connected is mutter, but what doesn't look like it's connected is also. Ask the Gemara. Michlal, it's obvious that only when you did shechita is it mutter. Otherwise, it's also. Ask the Gemara, it makes no sense. Hashta, the mace, shari. If where the animal died, the abundant I'm going to hold, that it's also shachta mibayit, that when the animal dies, the wool is mutter. So certainly they should say that when you shecht it, it's mutter. Because let's think about it. If the animal dies, so the halach is a b'char that dies must be buried. Yet we're saying that the hair that fell off before will be mutter. So certainly if you shechted it, and the animal doesn't need to be buried, that the hair should be mutter. Ella, says the Gemara, the way to understand the mission is as follows. The situation of shechita is not where we have a dispute between a kavi and the chachamim. For, says the Gemara, shechtoi el b'shechtoi, if the animal's hair fell off, and then the b'chal was geshechten, divrei hakol shari. Everybody will agree that that hair will be mutter after the shechita. Ki pligi, when do a chamim and a kavya disagree? Ki pligi b'meis. Their argument is where the animal died, what will be the halacha on the hair that fell off before it died? Comments the Gemara. Amar of Asi, Amar Ish Lakish. Machloikis b'shetira mumcha. That when do Akavya and the Chum disagree? Only where by the time the hair fell off, the Chacham had already said that this animal is Bamum. The Chachamim are still strict, for they're concerned that you're going to not shech that animal which is Bamum. And the halach is that even though it's a Bechor Bamum, as I said a few moments ago, Gizav Avoida is also even on B'chor B'amum. So in order to prevent you from not shechting it, and perhaps Chas B'Sholem doing Gizav Avoida, the Chum said that the hair that falls off will be Osir. A caveat holds that since this animal has been already identified as a B'amum, that's why we're not worried that you're going to hold on to it just because you want to get hair that may fall off by itself. Masava, the Rabbana hold Gazrin Demas Lashri. We need to be concerned that you're going to hold on to this animal, this Bechor that's already been identified as Bamum. Or Masover, the Rebbe Kavya holds, we have no reason to be concerned. You're going to shecht it. Avol, lo yitir mumcha. If you have a bamum that has not yet been identified as a bamum by the chacham, that animal has the category of a tam, and when the animal is a tam, even a kavya will agree that such an animal, the hair that falls off from a tam, is awesome. Av lo yitir mumcha, if the animal has not yet been identified as a bamum by a chacham, also, even a kavya will agree that the hair that falls off is awesome. Ask the Gemara, Moshe Rav Sheshes, Bali Mumin, it says in the Braisa, Bali Mumin, Oysim Bekoshu, that if you have an animal that's bamum, and it got mixed up with other animals, all of the animals become awesome. Rav Yosema Yivuka. Rav Yosema says we have to do an investigation. Ravinimbo, and we need to understand what Rav Yosema means, Ma Yivuka. Ilema, does Rav Yosema mean the Baal Mum Hu Lishkalei, that we should look for the animal that's a Baal Mum and take it out? Michlal, the Tanakama Omar, that will that mean that the Tanakama will disagree? Ask the Gemara, Lav Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Avua, Tanakama Amalav, will the Tanakama say that that isn't acceptable? Why would the Tanakama argue that if you find the animal that's bal mum, that the rest of the animals are fine? Therefore, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, what is the machloek between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama? Hocha begizes b'chor bal mum askinan, that the wool of a b'chor that's a bal mum fell off, shnis avu, and it got mixed up begizah chulan, and it got mixed up together with all the other wool. Uman Tanakama, and who's the Tanakama that takes the strict approach? It's Rabbi Yehudahi, Dama, Nishchatu, that once the animal is slaughtered, Asur Rabbanan, that wool still remains also. Rabbi Yisrael Tamei, and Rabbi Yisrael is going to hold, Nishchatu, Shar Rabbanan, that once the animal is slaughtered, the hair that fell off before is Mutter. V'ktani, and Rabbi Yisrael continues, says the word Yevukar, My lav, my yevukar. What does it mean that you should do the beaker? It means we need to check imum kavu imum hovahu. Now we're doing the checking. Is this bechor ba mum? Afagav. So what do we see? That when the hair fell off, this identification, if it's a ba mum or not, had not yet been done. And yet we see that a kavi ba mahalul takes the lenient approach, whereas according to Reish Lakish, a kavi ba mahalul agrees that if the animal has not yet been identified as a bal mum before the hair fell off, when the hair fell off, even he'll agree it's asr. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, lo yivuka iturit, afagav shlo yitir mumcha, Amar Rava, loy, the definition of yivukar is iyitir mumcha in, if when it fell off, it was already a bal mum, it was already identified as bal mum, that hair will be mutter, v'loy loy. So actually, according to Rava, Rabbi Yossi is saying exactly the same as Reish Lakish. But now the Gemara gives totally different interpretations to this machloikis of the animal that got mixed up with the other animals that has nothing to do with our issue. Kisolak Ravin, Amma Lishmatza Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ravin came up and he said this to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amma Bavloy Tepshoi. The Bavloyim are foolish people. Mishum, the Yasri Ba'ara de Cheshucha. Bavl is in a valley. It's very dark. Amri Shmatz and the Mechashkin. So as Mefarshim explained, this actually isn't an insult. It's a compliment. He's saying he's really a very smart person. The reason he said something that was seemingly foolish is because he lives in a bad place. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, the Pasuk says, B'Mechashkin Chshav Shal Nafshi, the Talmud Bavli is called Mechashkin. He felt that Talmud Yerushalmi, the Talmud of Etz Yisrael, b'mechashachim ha'yishivani, Talmud Bavli is not as clear as the Torah of Etz Yisrael, avir da'ara machkim. L'shmilei hodam Rav Chibar Avin, am Rav Yochanan, that they machloikus b'shabodak v'loy motza. You have this one animal that's about mum that got mixed up with all the other animals. And the machloikus is machloikus And then you look for that animal, you can't find it. And what is the machlokes? Something that had a cheskes tuma, it remains in that status until you could actually find it. The Chum Aymer, the Chum take a much lenient approach. Do the best you can, and if you don't find anything, it's okay. And the same here. If there's an animal that's balmum, according to Rabbi Yossi, as long as you do the best you can, you're fine. The Rabbanan say no, until you find the animal that's balmum, they're all awesome. Ravasi Omar, a different way of explaining the machlaikas. Machlaikas shabaduka matzah. You did find an animal that's about mum. What is the machlaikas then? The Tanya, Sadisha of a Bebe Kevra, you knew there was a Kevra in the field and you can't find it. Nichnas betaychot, so whoever walks into that field is obviously Tamei. Nimtz betaychot Kevra, now when the grave has been found, Nichnas betaychot Tar. Now, if you go into that field, as long as you stay away from that Mokum kever, you're fine. Shani Oimer, for we could safely say, says Rebbe, who kever shavet, who kever shemetza. You knew you lost the kever here, and now you find it. Divi Rebbe. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is stricter. Amativ de kol sada kula. And you have to look at the whole field, and just because you find the kever, we're not comfortable to say that that must be the kever that we know that was here. Here too. We found an animal with a mum. Rav Yossi says, as long as you find an animal with a mum, you're okay. We assume that that was the animal that you lost. The Rabbanan are stricter. Ask the Gemara. By Tumah, why didn't he say the first teretz? He says, by Tumah, we could say Ba'ar V'notlai, that there was indeed a Tumah here, but it was carried away by a bird, Ba'ach V'notlai. Al-Hacha, here you can't take that approach, because Ba'mum, Leich Azul, what happened to the mum? You can't just, there's no excuse where it went. Vidach, mum overhu, there is an excuse. It must have been only a temporary mum, vitsi. Ask the Gemara now the other way. Rav Am Chibar Abba Mai Tamla Amakravasi, that says that if you find it, that must have been the one you lost. Amalach Bishlam Bebesada Dakal Nikba. And therefore, he holds, Kiyecha de Kabbayhai, just like this one grave, must be covered in a shachrina. We have to be concerned that there's another grave. El kachim, but a kachim, the kivin the batgluhu, they have a chazaka kachim are not balimum. Kivin batgluhu have a kaim der chayul a maple by mumma. Why should I think there's a mum? So if I find the animal with a mum, I could safely assume that that's the only problematic animal. Vidach, why would the other man d'omer explain? Agav the man chiyadodi, animals clash, shchich by mumma. And just because you found that animal with a mum, you cannot be comfortable or certain to say that all the other animals aren't bal mum. They all must be checked. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, HaToyel Shetzame B'chor Tam, if somebody takes off the wool from an animal which is still a B'chor, that's not a bal mum, Abba B'yishan Noel bal mum V'shachtoi, even though afterwards it does get a mum, and you do the Shechita Aser. So what do we see? Tam the Tamhu. Only because at the point that the hair fell off, it was a tam. Habamum. But it seems to be that the Bryce is teaching us, bamum, that if the animal was a bamum, even though shlaytiru mumcha, that the chacham hasn't yet declared it a bamum, then if the hair falls off and then you do the shechita, that hair will be mutter. But a shlokish holds that until the chacham said it's a bamum, even though it's physically about mum, the hair fell off, it won't be mutter, according to everybody after the shechita. And says, well, that's not the way to understand the braisa. Tana, this Tana, kol heichad lo yitira mumcha, as long as a mumcha hasn't called it about mum, even though physically it may be about mum, tam karile, the halacha, it's considered a tam, and the halacha of Reish Lakish is very much in line, that any animal that's a tam, if you do the shechita, afterwards, the halacha, if the hair fell off before it wasn't declared a balmum, the hair that fell off at that point, even after the shechita, according to Reish Lakish, everybody will agree that hair is awesome.